Let us pray, and we'll get into the title, which I asked Sharon. By the way, Sharon does the bulletins. I said, Sharon, were you surprised at the title this Sunday? And the title, if you didn't see it in the bulletin or up, it says, Where's Your Hijab? Now, you might think, uh-oh, watch out. There's a specific meaning behind this, because February 1st, I found out by scrolling the internet, was Hijab Day, World Hijab Day, which when I saw a picture of three Fairport Central School District teachers wearing hijab, I almost fell out of my seat. Personally, I don't think there's a place for that in the public school system. Henceforth, that's the reason my children have never been enrolled in a public school. Now, everybody's lot is different in life. Before I digress too much, the meaning of hijab, when I looked it up again, shocked me because it coincides with the passage of scripture today. It actually means a barrier or partition. That's exactly what we're talking about today. I recognize God's hand in that. Henceforth, the title is, What is Your Hijab? Keep that in mind as we move forward today in the text. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather collectively once again in harsher weather, winter conditions. But Lord, thank you for these faithful people who have come out to join together collectively, to worship you collectively. Let us continue to do so through your holy anointed word, through the preaching and the teaching of your scriptures in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, of course, Minister Randy was in a different section last week, Isaiah. We're going back into Ephesians as we've been going through. And as we get back into this letter of Paul to the Ephesian church, he will again remind the reader how things used to be before their encounter and belief in Jesus Christ. Remember is a good word for all of us. To not forget who and what we used to be before the blood of Jesus washed away our sins. Before faith in Christ allowed us entrance into his eternal kingdom, Jesus is a barrier breaker or a hijab breaker. He spent his time on earth breaking down walls, walls of religious hypocrisy, walls of bias, prejudice toward the Gentile, women, lepers, publicans, prostitutes, and many other people groups. So remember, you and I, if you are in Christ, used to be an alien, a stranger to God's promises, but God. What a great conjunction. Gentiles in the flesh were not accepted by God due to ignorance and prejudice. It was said that the Jews were given the oracles of God. The gospel was first presented to them. The uncircumcised Gentile were separated from God in the eyes of those that were circumcised or the Jew. In fact, the Gentiles were not allowed in the temple beyond the court of the Gentiles. A wall or partition was there. Any Gentile trying to get through would receive swift and sudden death. All people ignorant of God's righteousness will naturally make or design their own gods, as the Ephesians did, like Diana of Ephesus. They will not submit to the righteousness of God. Why? Because of ignorance. So keep in mind today as we go through the text, the question for you, what is your hijab? What are your personal partitions and barriers that you have put up in the heart of your soul? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Therefore, remember. There's that word, that conjunction again. Wherefore, remember that you, being in times past Gentiles, this is the Ephesians, the non-Jewish person, in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, that's what they were called, uncircumcised, by that which is called circumcision, that is the Jewish people, in the flesh made by hands. Remember, circumcision, according to Levitical law, was a requirement. This was the actual, similar to water baptism as a Christian. This was the ritual on the eighth day that as a male you were to be circumcised and you henceforth were now part of God's family, so to speak, in the Old Testament day. The uncircumcised would almost, to give you a very relevant not too long ago, as we remember description, would be like the unvaccinated were 4 or 5 years ago. Outcasts, not allowed into certain places, cannot intermingle. Remember the Apostle Peter, still because of that, though, that old wiring, even after being set free by Christ, would not eat with the Gentile, the non-Jew, and he was rebuked openly by the Apostle Paul for that. So we have to be careful, because if we're honest, all of us in the depths of our heart have built up barriers, even though Christ was the barrier breaker. Even though Christ was the barrier breaker, we still have a tendency to do so. And we have this as Paul's reminding them of the barrier that used to be there between the Gentile and the Jew. Verse 12, that at times you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth, that's the very fabric of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise. So what happens if you are an alien or a stranger? The uncircumcised had no hope and no promises of God. And the same holds true today for anybody who knows not Christ. I must tell you, last week, although I miss SBC when I'm gone, I had a blessed time at the Well Church. A wonderful time, and I went through Romans 10, 1 through 17. And I have to tell you, verse 3 of Romans chapter 10, for you and I, is so important to understanding what is the general problem people made in the image of God have. What is their biggest problem when it comes to God? It's in Romans chapter 10, verse 3. That they, that's anyone who doesn't believe, although written to the Romans, that they being ignorant, that means not having knowledge of God's righteousness. That was the uncircumcised, that was the Gentile that Paul's writing about at the time to remember when you were in that boat. That applies today to anybody who knows not Christ. They're not born again. They're not saved and sealed by the Spirit of promise. Being ignorant of God's righteousness, have created, developed their own self-righteousness. Therefore, will not submit to the righteousness of God. That actually is the problem in the world. For those that we call lost, for those who are not part of the kingdom of light, that know not Christ, they're ignorant. Well, how will they know? You share with them. You preach to them. You present the gospel to them. As the apostle said, how will they hear without a preacher? That's what the Apostle Paul was writing to the Romans. Much of the world today still remains ignorant of the good news of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul is saying, remember. Remember who you were. You had no hope without God. You were separated from God. Why? Because of ignorance. Ignorance is a powerful tool of the enemy. Powerful tool. And keep that in mind when you're dealing with people. Keep that in mind when you're dealing with some people who are closest to you. Because salvation is a work of God. Salvation is a work of God. He's reminding them how they were aliens. Those are people, just foreigners passing through, not part of their homeland. Strangers from the covenants of promise, no hope, without God in the world. Verse 13, but now, another great conjunction, but now, that's the present. Let me encourage you to stay focused on the present in your current situation. The past will weigh you down. The future will cause you to worry and panic. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes far off are made near. How? By the blood of Christ. There's beautiful verses. The blood is so important. Let me read some. In him, this is Ephesians 1-7. We went through this. In him, that's Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Hebrews 9:14. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? One more. 1 Peter chapter 1. Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with the perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. That's how important the blood is. The blood of Christ, the blood of the Lamb of God, who cleanses us from all unrighteousness, when we put our faith and our hope in that finished work. This is why we remember that. It's not to be, can't be duplicated, replicated, done again. It's done once. Jesus said, it is finished. We'll be remembering that soon, God willing. On Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday, we'll be remembering on what we call Good Friday. That's why we commemorate those days. That's why we make those days to remember. It's good to remember. Why? We forget. We forget. And that's what the Apostle Paul is doing right here to the Ephesians. He's reminding them, do you remember who you were? And now, who you are now. But now, in the present, forget about the past, the easily besetting sin. Some of you are so weighed down by the past. Listen, that's why you can't enjoy the present. That is why you cannot rejoice in the Lord always, because you're living in the past. And nothing from the past will be undone. But now, today, an opportunity today to live righteously and walk in love with those that are without, to walk in love with those that you are agreed with and aligned with, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Verse 14, I love this section because you're going to notice peace. Three different times. The first time is in verse 14. For he, Jesus, is our peace. I've said this so many times. A person who at that time was ignorant, uncircumcised, separated out of ignorance. A person who knows not Christ cannot have peace. They cannot have it. They may be good at pretending, they may be good at acting, but they don't have peace. They don't. They don't have peace of mind. They don't have peace in their spirit. Why? Because Jesus is our peace. If you don't have hope, what do you have? You have hopelessness. What will you do? You'll put your affection into some other object or thing. And let me caution all of you, let that never be a person. Let that never be another person. You will be very disappointed, dejected, and ultimately hurt. If you're putting the hope you're supposed to have in God into any other person, that includes your husband, your wife, your children, your grandparents, it doesn't matter who it is. The best person is a person at best. The best man is a man at best. Your hope, my hope, needs to be in God. Why? Because he is our peace. Who has made both one, that's the Jew and the Gentile, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Pause to think about these things now. What is your hijab? What is that barrier wrapping around your heart like the Muslims do with the hijab, the ladies? What is your barrier? What's your separation? What is your partition? How many hijabs in your heart? Just think about this. Because when it comes to salvation, Galatians chapter 3, which we went through verse 28, says there is neither Jew nor Gentile. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, you could easily take that and distort that and say, oh, look, no more male or female. When it comes to salvation, we are all on equal ground. It's accessible to all. Jew, Gentile, male, free, bond, slave, open to all. But there's a list that I made. And I made a list myself, and I circled four hijabs in my own heart. I'm not going to tell you what they are because they're mine. But if I'm honest and if I self-assess and I examine myself to see if I'm in the faith and in the Lord, and if I'm going to be like David and say, search me, O God, to see if there's some wicked way in me. And normally there is. Let me just read to you some lists that I made, and then I circled where I've had prejudice in my heart. Protestant, Catholic. Pentecostal, Baptist. Conservative, liberal. Republican, Democrat, old, young, classical, contemporary, parents, children, in-laws, outlaws. Okay? That's a list I made personally, and there were four circles on my list in which I know that I've had bitterness, animosity, enmity, or hatred in my heart toward the side I didn't circle, or toward the side that I circled, that is. What are they? That's between me and God. He works in my heart. Do you know repentance is a great gift? Did you know that? Repentance is such a great gift. We don't have to go and sacrifice, make sacrifices anymore. We don't need grain offerings and burnt offerings like the Old Testament Levitical priests had to make. Why? We have a chief high priest now. We have a gift of repentance, confession, heartfelt confession, ownership, admittance, agreeing with our mouth, believing in our heart, say, God, just please forgive me of this that I thought of this group of people. I mean, let's just talk about it for a minute. Have you ever thought about this? Hey, how's that church? That's a bunch of old people. Hijab. Hijab. Partition. You put a wall up between you and the people of God. How about this one? Bunch of liberal lunatics. I've said that. I'll confess that to you. I have said that, and I repent of that. Because God has shown me that that's wrong. That these people are ignorant of the righteousness of God often. And as crazy as it might be, and I may not understand it, but maybe people that are liberal in their politics somehow, some way, still believe in the same God I do. I don't understand it, but they're still made in God's image. I'm still commanded by my God to love them, whether they hate me or not. And part of the problem is you're feeding, and I'm feeding the wrong thing, and you just can't stop scrolling on Facebook, and you can't stay off your phone. And so while all this stuff is getting in you, the Word of God is out. We need to be disciplined in our faith. We need to be disciplined in our walk, including myself. I told you that now, you know what I noticed? I'll say this to you. This is what I have noticed. He is our peace. Whenever my phone is off, I'm in the office and I'm reading God's Word, guess what I always have? Peace. I can't say the same for when I'm sitting down doing this. Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. I start to get angry. And I start to get hostile, and I start to get mad, and then even sometimes my finger starts to type things. This is the world we live in. No more, you know, horseback letters get carried across. It doesn't work like that. Now we could just post something in a matter of seconds and mess everything up. Your witness, your life, everything. And your peace is gone. Impatience. In peace, possess your soul. Listen to this. He's broken down the middle wall of partition. Verse 15, what did he do? Having abolished in his flesh, that's the broken body, the enmity, that's hostility. That's hostility between you. You and God. I was saying this last week at the church. I don't know if they'll ever invite me back, by the way. But I was saying this. Listen, you've heard me say it. There is enmity, there is hostility between God and the person that is rejecting God. We have to do away with this pansy Christianity that's not biblical and it's not true. And people are just going around, just always saying how good God is, which he is. But they're telling people that are at war with God, Jesus loves you. And the rebel's like, that is so great, let me sin even more. No repentance, no godly sorrow. Be careful what you say to people who are at war with God. Give them the truth. Don't give them something that soothes your flesh to say to them. He abolished in his flesh the enmity. How? Even the law of commandments. You are under those Ten Commandments if you have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Contained an ordinance for to make in himself of two, one new man, making peace. You're only a peacemaker and you only have peace through the cross. Listen to what Romans says. The law has dominion over you. Control over you. You are under the law of God as long as he lives. That's Romans 7:1. But when someone dies to the law, dead to the law by the body of Christ, to be married to another. You're either under the law, stuck, dead in trespasses and sins, guilty because you have broken God's commandments and ordinance, or you're married to Christ, free, no longer under it, divinely speaking. The barrier has been broken if you were in Christ. The guilt should be gone, the condemnation's gone, there's now freedom in Christ. There's one more peace statement coming up. Verse 16, and that he might reconcile, that's to bring back both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the hostility, the enmity thereby. Again, that's why people hate the cross. One body by the cross. That's why school will have a hijab day, but not a cross day. You'll never see a cross day in a public school because they hate the cross. But you'll let them wear something that separates. You'll let them wear a barrier over their head out of ignorance of what it even stands for. The same way the Jew discriminated against the Gentile. There's nothing new under the sun. That's why if the cross can be changed, dismissed, diminished, forgotten, replaced, then the hostility is still there. The strength of the law, the wall is still in the court of the soul. And what we're going through right now is massive confusion and massive indoctrination, starting with the younger generations, because if you get them, then there's no hope in God, but rather hopelessness without God. That's why it's our job to bring the light, to bring the truth to this lost and dying generation, to a generation that is teaching the children, the younger people, that if you're a man, you can get pregnant. Are you kidding me? Absolute insanity, wickedness, and perversion. That Muslim, at its core fundamental beliefs, is peaceful. Not according to the Quran, it's not. That there's something holy and good about a hijab when it's not, it's wicked and it separates people from the goodness of God. This is the world we live in. These are the battles we have to encounter. How? With the love, the truth, the grace and the mercy of God. And with boldness, the bold are righteous as a lion. Let me ask you something, just something for you to think about. Would you put your job on the line if it came between Jesus and your job? Some of you already answered that because you got vaccinated. And you didn't want to, but you compromised there. And I know I'm speaking hard words here today, but I have to be truth because I love you. Would you put your job on the line if it came down to one soul for Jesus Christ? Would you lay down that job for the cause of Christ? Because people on that map down there lay down their life every day for the cause of Christ. We're no different. Jesus said, count the cost before you become my disciple. Are you going to try to build a tower and you don't have enough materials and then people start to mock you? He said, she said, she was a Christian. Look at them, like all the others. They're just waiting for you to fall. The righteous are bold as a lion. The wicked flee when no man pursues them, the proverb says. We need to be bold and courageous in the Lord. Those who believe on the Lord shall not be confounded, shall not be ashamed, says Romans. If you're truly converted, you will stand for your master in his strength made perfect in your weakness. Listen to the last piece, verse 17, and he came and he preached what? Peace. The gospel of peace. You can only really have peace if you receive Christ. He came and he preached peace to you which were afar off. That was the Gentile in context. And to them that were near. That was the Jew. Gospel first came to the Jew. They rejected him. They wanted to kill him. Why? Hostility. The law had preeminence in their heart. Verse 19, now, therefore, there's a conclusion. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God. By the way, being a member of the citizen of the kingdom of heaven, there's one condition. You cannot have dual citizenship. You cannot have dual citizenship. Either you're in or you're out. You can't say, you know what, I'm part of the kingdom of God on Friday, but on Saturday I'm not. I'm part of the world citizenship. It doesn't work like that. You're in or you're out. You're a citizen of the kingdom of God or you're not. That's not to say we don't all fall short of the glory. That's not to say we don't stumble. We know that. We live in this flesh, in this fallen world. You get the point, I hope, and you pray. Verse 20, listen to this. And are built up upon the foundations of the apostles and the prophets. Please listen. Spirit, please give them ears to hear. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, those of you that know me, you will laugh at me. You will laugh at me if I was to tell you and give you an illustration about me building some type of structure. God has made me very insufficient in that. However, spiritually speaking, I get the picture. Listen to this. The apostles and prophets started the building. The prophecy, the warnings, the groundwork, and the chief cornerstone, as we just read, is Jesus. Listen to the chief cornerstone. It's the first stone set in the construction of a masonry foundation. All other stones will be set in reference to the cornerstone, thus determining the position of the entire structure. Who Jesus is will align everything else you believe about God, the scriptures, your life, and he will stumble people. He is a rock of offense. The cross is foolishness to those that perish. When we disciple people, we should be equipping them for rejection and persecution, not for your best life now. You said a prayer, you're in. God is going to bless you now. God has a great plan for your life, promising them abundant financial prosperity. That's all garbage. That's not what Christ said. Now, he could give you those things because God is good. But he's God, not us. And the chief cornerstones, here's what the scriptures are saying. Here's what Paul's saying. Where you position the Christ, the Messiah, the chosen one of the Lord, the Lamb of God who takes away, where you position him will determine everything else in your belief system. And if you position a version of the Bible, if you position someone or something else in the place of the person of the chief cornerstone, the foundation will be very shaky. Everything else will be off. If you worship something else, preeminently other than that chief cornerstone, the building is not going to be built correctly. There's going to be mishap, there's going to be shaking, and there might even be a collapse at some point. He is the most important piece to your spiritual temple. You are the temple of the living God. Where Christ is, where you have positioned him in your heart and in your life, everything else needs to be aligned. It will align with that chief cornerstone. And you can tell where people have positioned that stone. You spend enough time with people, you could tell where they're positioned, whether they're just some other stone or they're the chief cornerstone. And you can really tell when trials come. Because Jesus did make one promise. He said, although you have trial and tribulation, be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. And the difference is, have you put the chief cornerstone in a proper position? And when those trials of life come, and he's positioned properly, your house will stand. Because if you don't, it's going to have a great fall, according to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. We all go through it. We all go through trials in life, in our marriage, raising children, at our job, in our relationships. We all go through these difficulties. So why are we telling people how great their life is going to be when they decide to follow Jesus Christ? Their life might get more challenging. And then you know what you find out? Where they position Jesus Christ in their life. Was it just a firework? Pew! Was it just a lot of zeal that blew away? Or was it deep-rooted? You can't see the roots because they're being grown under the ground so that tree can get stronger. It's like a tree planted like the river of water. In Psalm 1, so that when those winds blow, when those trials come, the tree stands. Why? The source behind it is the living water that's causing depth and growth that really gets understood when the difficult times come, not when it's your best life now. When the challenges of life come, and that when all of a sudden they say you have stage 4 cancer, then you see the roots. When all of a sudden someone says, your job by tomorrow, tomorrow's your last day, then you see what kind of roots they have. When your husband or wife disappoints you, how deep are your roots in Christ? You're married to Christ. Your marriage is to be a presentation of a picture of Christ, of holiness, not always of happiness. Get that idea out of your mind that you have a husband or wife, they're always going to make you happy. What a lie that is. And I love my wife, by the way. You all know that. She is not the source of my happiness. If she was, I'd be in big trouble. In fact, I wouldn't be up here right now. Same thing for you. Those of you who are married, if your husband or wife is the sole main source of your happiness, you are going to have a fall. And guess what? It's not your children. As cute as they are, as special as they are, it's not your children. In fact, there's times and seasons in life where your children can become your enemy, spiritually speaking. Jesus said your enemies will be in your own house. Where is this in discipleship? Where is this in discipleship? Why don't we tell people what Jesus said? And then we're surprised when it happens.
Huh? Oh my gosh.
Didn't Jesus tell you it was going to happen? Take heed. Take heed to the words of Jesus and the word of God. Verse 21, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. That's beautiful. Last verse. In whom, verse 22, you also are builded together for habitation of God through the Spirit. Isn't that a beautiful picture? I mean, the temple, and you know, I changed, now I call this an auditorium, and now I've adjusted completely after call it to say, this is an auditorium with a bunch of temples in here, but collectively we make up one body, fitly framed together. And how will we stay together as a body? How will we stay together as a local body if the chief cornerstone is properly positioned? If anything else takes its place, this, I don't care if this whole place was packed. You can have a packed auditorium and have a shaky foundation. I don't ever want to be a part of that. I don't care if there's 10 people. I told the Lord, you know, as soon as I submitted that to my heart, all these people started walking in at 11 o'clock. I don't care if there's 10 people here. I need my heart positioned in the right place. I need to put Jesus at the center, give him preeminence, put him as the chief cornerstone. Everything else will align. And so do you. So do you in your daily life. And if we're honest, at times, we take the cornerstone and we go, move it. And you wonder why our peace is taken away. And we wonder why our peace is taken away. Because we have the wrong object of our affection. Don't move the cornerstone. Remove the hijab. Break down the barriers in your heart. Be honest like I tried to be. You know another one I circled? Children. Yup, children. Sometimes my children. I put a barrier in between my children in my heart. I'm mad at them. I'm angry at them. I want to put them in a headlock. I want to do a suplex. But just be honest with God. Just be honest with God. That's all he desires, truth on the inward parts. And say, God, take away this prejudice. Take away this bias I have in my heart toward this political party, toward my boss at work, toward my coworker. There's so many biases and prejudice. And all you're doing is what the Old Testament Jews did. You're saying, if you go past this wall, you're dead. Jesus said, no. No, that partition was broken down by my body, my blood, my suffering. Now all are allowed to enter by faith. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. And I want to read to you something that God was speaking to us at prayer on Monday night. Now you say, whoa, hold on. Here he goes. Pentecost. I know Randy was a little bit more Pentecostal last week. I love him, man. Pentecostal, Baptist, I told you, no matter to me. But we were at prayer. Now listen, this is not how God spoke to us.
Pastor, fret not yourself.
I didn't hear an audible voice. I'm hoping. One day I would love to hear an audible voice. I believe people do on occasion. I haven't yet, but I believe it could happen still if God chooses. But God was speaking us through a specific psalm, Psalm 37. I said, well, how do you know that? Because Bob, who was facilitating, mentioned it that day. Matt said he had been thinking about that psalm during the day. Jamie was writing about that psalm in her notes all simultaneously. Do you think that's God? I do. So as I examine, I said, God, what are you trying to say to us? I want to end with Psalm 37 to bring peace, I pray, to your minds. This is Psalm 37. Before I do, I want to encourage you, as I encourage myself. Take your mind off Minneapolis, off the Muslims, off the mess, off the madness, off the media. And hopefully Psalm 37 will help you and I with that. Listen to Psalm 37. Fret not because of evildoers. That means don't worry. Don't worry. Fret not. This is God's instruction, not mine. Fret not because of evildoers. Delight yourself in what? The Lord. And he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to him. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Listen to this next word in verse 7. Rest. Rest in the Lord and wait. Rest and wait patiently for him. Fret not. Don't worry because of him who prospers in his way. Because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Listen to this last one. Alma, I think you might have said something. Cease from anger. Cease from anger, right? We were talking about being, and I said, yeah, me too. I'm angry about the weather. I don't like this weather, I'll be honest. I can easily get angry. Cease from anger and abandon wrath. Fret not yourself in any way to do evil. That's a good warning at the end, you know, because it's like, okay, that's it. We're going to take matters into our hands. That's it, I'm posting this. And you put it up, and all of a sudden, you made a mess. That's it. Sometimes you got to take the bull by the horns. Who said that? Is that in the Word of God? You got to take the bull by the horns? Well, you grab the horn of the altar, but that had a whole different meaning in the Old Testament. Let God do God's work. If we did our work, if we just worked on breaking down those partitions in our heart, if we ceased from anger, if we rested in the Lord, if we stopped worrying, man, we'd have perfect peace. Perfect peace, peace that passes understanding. Peace that only God can give. The world can see it. They'll start to desire it. They'll start to ask where it comes from. And at that point in time, you can lift the veil of ignorance from them according to God's word. That's the heart I believe we have to have, and that's the heart the Apostle Paul had, inspired by the Holy Spirit when he was writing these letters to the Ephesians and others. So I pray for you and I that we do that. That we would just commit our ways unto the Lord and rest. Rest in the Lord today. Father, I thank you for the opportunity once again as we prepare to sing our final song and depart from one another. Lord, I pray that we would really take heed to what your word says and have it apply to our lives, Lord. As we ask for forgiveness from our wicked ways and from our failures this week, we trust in your promises. And Father, we just ask that you would continue to walk with us as you assure us you will, but that we be sensitive to you, your word, your way, your voice. And all of God's people said amen. Have a great Sunday. Thank you.